So I just want to do a quick review on a couple of items that are really important. The book value, which is a really important measure for a company. It's the accounting measure of what the company's worth. And it's just the shareholders' equity divided by the outstanding shares. That's all the book value is. And we'll be comparing various amounts to that book value. So I just wanted to remind people what that is. And the other is earnings, or earnings per share, EPS, also just E in the denominator of the PE ratio. E, or EPS, is the earnings of the company. And that's EPS is the net income divided by the average outstanding shares for that quarter. So we defined quarter last time as, you know, one fourth of a year. So companies are reporting every 3 months how much money they made, what their book value is, what their shareholders' equity is, and the other measures, assets and liabilities, revenues and expenses that we talked about last time. So the E, or EPS, is calculated each quarter of the year. So that those are really important. So then let's get just a reminder on a couple of more valuation ratios we talked about last time. One is price to book value. So that's the price of the stock divided by what I just reminded people is the book value. And for example, we talked about Apple last time. And the what was really interesting is Apple's book value was very low. It was about $4. So, but the price of Apple, at least when we were looking at it here, was around 100. So the price to book value is like 26, 27 times, right? And that is just suggesting that there's a lot more value in Apple than just the accounting measure of assets minus liabilities. So investors are saying, well, you know, there's value attached to just the name, right? And there's value attached to the fact that a lot of their earnings are recurring. And so we're going to give them value for that, the present value of these future earnings that are like the I'm paying Apple cloud storage. I'm paying Apple for my phone every month, right? So there's different amounts that they're getting every month that's included in that price. Compared to the book value. And so PE, we also started to get into last time, the price divided by earnings, E, or EPS. And we talked about how there's many ways to calculate the PE. And one way is to look at the earnings over four quarters, or the earnings over one quarter multiplied by four, or you could look at forward earnings. And so there's all these different ways. Most people look at last 12 months, or LTM, last 12 months, to calculate the PE, the last 12 months earnings. So for Apple, we talked about in this example, they had earned over the past four quarters, $3.30. The stock was a little over 100, so it was 30 or 35 times price to earnings ratio. But I more importantly think about what's the next 12 months earnings, or NTM, next 12 months. And that's called forward earnings. And it's more important what's going to happen in the future than what's already happened, because what's already happened is already in the stock price. So the stock market is just a discounting mechanism. It discounts the future projected earnings of the company. And so there's some amount of future earnings that Apple's going to earn that is already in the stock price. Okay, so it discounts that future into today. And so if we look at next 12 months, Apple's at this time was supposed to earn around $4 per share. And so then if you look at the stock price of 100 divided by four, it's about 25 times. So it's cheaper looking at future earnings, because whenever earnings are growing, the denominator is higher, so the ratio is lower. So now there's many ways to value a company. So I explained price to book value and price to earnings. And let's look at a ratio. We talked about EBITDA last time, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization. So another ratio is EV divided by EBITDA. And that a lot of analysts, professional analysts and non-professional analysts are looking at EV to EBITDA as a ratio to see is the company cheap or expensive. And so I just said when I was looking at Apple at this time, the EV was 2.1 trillion. EBITDA, last time we calculated, it was about $75 billion of that's cash earnings. So if you divide 2.1 trillion, again, all we're doing is dividing. We've added up four numbers. Now we're dividing the EV by the EBITDA. So 2.1 trillion divided by about 76 billion gets you 27.6 times. So again, that we don't know if that's expensive or cheap. And I talked last time how you need to compare things. So we need to compare this EV to EBITDA at that point in time compared to all the other past. We can look at a quarterly amount. We can look at an annual amount to see, okay, is that high or low compared to history? And we can also compare the EV to EBITDA for Apple compared to its competitors like Google and Amazon and Samsung and other companies. So another way to value a company is called DCF or discounted cash flow. And that's just looking at what we talked about, EBITDA, and analysts will have a model, or you can have a model too, of how much the company is gonna generate in cash next year, the year after, 3 years after. And then you're just discounting it back by, you know, what kind of interest rate they can earn on that money. So, you know, you can assume there's no right answer. It's, you know, putting a finger in the air, putting a thumb in the air. There's no right answer. You can guess 3% or 5%. You're going to be wrong. But, you know, the analysts do this complicated math. It's not worth it. You know, you can just guess 3 or 4 or 5%, whatever return, be conservative, and you're discounting those cash flows. And that would be to get a DCF or discounted cash flow value for the company. And then one final ratio, which I started to get into last time, was the PE compared to the earnings growth of the company. And this is important because you, in order for a company to be cheap or expensive, you can use this ratio. It's a very simple PE compared to earnings growth. You want to have companies where their PE, their price to earnings, is less than how much they're growing their earnings. Very simple. Right. So if a company is growing at 20% and their PE is 15, oh, that seems good because it's the PE is going to go down every year because the earnings are growing 20%. If the earnings are growing 10%, then the PE is 15. That's expensive because it's 1.5 times the earnings growth. So that's another. So for Apple at this time, when we did this ratio, the PE we said was 30 plus, looking at either current year, you know, future earnings or current earnings or past earnings, at least 30. But the EPS, the earnings per share growth, was only 18.8 for the next year. So on that basis, a couple of years ago, Apple looked expensive. Now, I've been looking at Apple because we talked about last time, just currently the last quarter. I think they may have just reported in the last few days, but if we look at first quarter of 2023, they didn't grow their earnings at all. They earned $1.52 in the prior year, first quarter, and they earned $1.52 exactly in the current year. So zero growth. So no matter, so that even if it was like, okay, rounding error, say it's 1%, the PE is very high compared to a 1% earnings growth, right? So it's for me, that's, so we'll get into the 5-step proprietary stock screen, but that's just one. It's called the PEG ratio. The PE compared to earnings per share growth is also known as the PEG ratio. So PEG for growth ratio. So we've already talked about comparing the ratio to the same, you know, comparing the PE over time. So we were we're talking about Apple, and Apple's PE at the time we were looking at it was around 30, right? And maybe a little bit lower if you look, it was a little bit higher looking at last 12 months, a little bit lower looking at future 12 months, but it was around 30. And so but what does that mean? We don't know what that means because we don't know if it's high or low. What does Apple's PE have? What's it been over, what has it been over the last 10 years, 5 years, 3 years? And so it's important to understand, okay, what has it been compared to itself, but also how does it compare to its peers in the industry? So at this time, you know, a couple of years ago, it was 30, but Amazon's PE at that same date was 100. Google's was 35, Microsoft was 33. So the average for all the companies was 50, and Apple's was the lowest. So on that metric, maybe it's not expensive compared to its peers, right? If you now the other thing we just talked about, the PEG ratio or the PE to earnings growth ratio, maybe all the other companies are growing so much faster. So let's take a look at the PEG ratio of Apple compared to the other companies. So I calculated that at that time as well for Apple compared to its peers. And Apple was 1.6 and Amazon was 2.6. Google was 1.3 and Microsoft was 2.5. So the average was exactly two. And so it's lower than the average. And the only company that was lower than the 1.6 was Google at 1.3. It looks relatively cheap compared to its peers on the PE to earnings growth ratio and on the PE basis. So we also looked at price to book value, right? We said that's another valuation metrics. And we saw that the price to book value for Apple was 27 times. So what is Amazon? Amazon was 22 that same day. Google was only 5 times and Microsoft only 13 times. So on a price to book value basis, it's the most expensive. The average was 17, they're at 27, and no one was higher of these four companies. So on that metric, okay, not so great. And then the final one we talked about was EV to EBITDA, right? And so on that basis, it was 27.6. Amazon is 40, Google 21, Microsoft 24. So the average was 28. So it's around the average. And so not very cheap, not very expensive on that metric. So, and then finally, EPS growth is another thing to look at. You know, we want to see, okay, how much is the company growing compared to its peers? So Apple was going to be 18.8% for the next year. Amazon 40, Google 27, and Microsoft 13%. So the average was 25%. So we want Apple to be growing faster than the average. It's growing less than the average, and almost every company was more. So all these are giving me an idea, okay, not great, right? It doesn't feel like this is really, really cheap, and I got to run out and buy it. This was, again, a couple of years ago. So based on all those measures, like, okay, it's not that exciting. What I'm looking for is a company that's lower than its peers. And now we haven't really compared it to its past, but another thing to know is if you went back into, you know, from 2010 to 2020, Apple was trading much lower than 30 times PE. It had a PE of low as 8 or 9 or 10 or 12. So it's actually really, really expensive compared to itself in prior years. So all this is good information, right? And it's just giving you an idea of where is the stock compared to its peers? Where is it compared to itself? And, you know, based on what we just went through, it doesn't seem that exciting. I'm not excited, right? I want to find something that's really less than its peers and less than it has been in the past. And that gets me excited. Now, we haven't done the five-step stock screen, so we don't know for sure. But I did tell you that step one, we'll get into in a few minutes, but we already said that it had no earnings growth, right? So that's not exciting either this past quarter. So let me just wrap this up. What we've been talking about is fundamental analysis. So fundamental analysis is using valuation metrics to use to analyze a company. And fundamental analysis says, you look at the price to earnings ratio, the PE, is the stock expensive or cheap? You look at the price to book value, is the stock expensive or cheap? You look at the cash flow, is the stock expensive or cheap? So you're using the fundamentals of the company's business to determine if it's cheap or expensive. Now, you can also use technical analysis. Technical analysis has nothing to do with the fundamentals of the company. It doesn't matter what the company does. It doesn't matter what industry. It doesn't matter what the price is. What does matter, well, it does matter what the price is, but not compared to the fundamentals. So technical analysis is just using the price and its past movements to determine if it's cheap or expensive. It doesn't look at the future. We're not looking at future earnings or future book value or any future metrics. We're just looking at the past. And it mainly focuses on the stock price charts. So I don't know, let's see if I can get out a whiteboard here just quickly. And so see if you guys can see this. So that's the price, right? And that's the stock price, and it's going up and down. And we're just looking at that. That's over time, right? That could be a year, 3 years, 5 years. And so what has the stock price averaged over 30 days, 100 days, 150 days? And so if you do that, you'll get a line like this. So that's the average over that time period, say it's 150 days. And you can do that for multiple 30-day periods, multiple 90-day periods, multiple 150-day periods. And some analysts just look at that and say, okay, is the stock above or below its 150-day moving average, the line here, right? That straight line. So the stock's below, so that's good. And that's called a moving average. And so that's technical analysis. All you're using is the stock price. You're averaging the stock price over time. And that's a moving average. And you say, okay, is the stock above it or below it? Is the moving average, is the stock moving up towards it? That's good. Is it coming from above and moving down? That's bad. And so that's one technical analysis. You can also look at the relative strength of the stock compared to the overall stock market. And so I'll just draw another line here. So if you have these two lines, right, the darker line, you see that could be the overall stock market. So it looks like they're correlated, right? But the overall stock market has gone up more overall than that, the lighter line. And so the relative strength is low, right, compared to the stock. So what the relative strength does is it looks at every day, how is the stock done compared to the stock market? So today's stock was up 1%, but the overall market was up 2%. Stock was down 1%, the overall market down 2%. And it calculates, you know, so it looks at the strength compared to the overall stock market. And you can do that for 7 days, 10 days, 30 days and say, okay, well, the stock was down 2%. The market was up 1%. That's not good. Stock was up 1%. The market was up 2%. That's not good. We want it to do better than the overall stock market. And so you can calculate this relative strength index over 7 days, 10 days, 30 days, and see if it's stronger than the market. And if it's much stronger, that's not good because it's gone up a lot more. And the technical analyst will say, wait a second, if it's gone up a lot more, it can't go up a lot more. If it's gone up a lot in the past, it's not going to go up. And that's the quote unquote traditional technical analysis. So if the relative strength index, the number goes from 0 to 100. If it's at 80, that means that it's been very strong compared to the overall stock market. And it usually is a sell at 80 because it can't continue to do that. And the technical analysis that if it's at 20 or below, it's, you know, been very bad compared to the overall stock market. So it can't continue like that. So it's got to be a buy. And so on the relative strength index, a 20 is a buy, 20 or below is a buy, 80 or above is a sell. Now, the other thing to look at, so we've just talked about price, there's also volume. How much stock is traded on a particular day is also a technical analysis indicator. So the technical analyst will say, if a stock has gone up and there's a lot of volume with that stock going up, that's a good signal. A lot of people are buying and the stock's going up. But if there's low volume and a stock's going up, they'll say that's not as good a signal. Right? If the average volume in a stock is, like for Apple, might be 1 billion shares a day. And, you know, it went up 10%, but only 100 million shares traded, they'll say that's not a good signal. But if it went up 10% and 1.5 billion shares traded, they're like, okay, that's a good signal. So volume and price together are indicators of, according to the technical analysts, that it'll go up more. So in a nutshell, technical analysis you would use if you believe that past prices are an indicator of future stock prices. That's the only information you're looking at. And you can say, okay, this past information of a stock price, this chart tells me where the stock's going to go in the future. That's all you're doing. So if you do believe that past prices of a stock can predict the future prices of a stock, then use technical analysis. I personally am a fan of fundamental analysis. I want to look at, you know, how much is the company making? And how much are they going to make in the future? That's for me what's important. And that, and so we can get into my 5-step stock screening next, but that's called fundamental analysis. It's using my 5-step stock screen. 4 of the 5 steps use fundamental analysis. The 5th step uses technical analysis.